The Lord be with you. Dear Lord, place on my lips the word of salvation, in my heart a love that welcomes all, and in the depths of my being, the light of faith and hope, which the darkness can never overcome. Amen. Early last month, I was touched by a post from a friend on Facebook. After seeing it, I was moved in the spirit and knew immediately that somehow it would be in my sermon here today. I reposted it on the Ascension Facebook page for you to see. It's a picture from my college classmate, Jerry Lynn, of a red t-shirt she described at the time as her favorite for the season. She was donning it to head off for a party held at her church every year as part of their outreach program to the community. The t-shirt has in big letters at the top, "Keep Christ in Christmas." Now in the past, for me, this was a pithy saying that I've often found used by some to chide others for not being as religiously observant as they were. Often this was from the churched to the unchurched as a sort of religious sting from those comfortable in their relationship with God to those perceived to be not uncomfortable enough in their relationship with God. That statement often bothered me, as well-intentioned as it may have been. But this time, coupled with the statement in large letters, "Keep Christ in Christmas," were a series of statements in small type below. They read, "Feed the hungry. Shelter the homeless. Welcome immigrants. Forgive others. Embrace outsiders. Share with those in need. Advocate for the marginalized. Confront those abusing power and value others' religions." This presentation, therefore, moved me as it both convicted me in my self-righteousness and lifted my spirits. You see, Advent season was well underway and I was not really feeling it yet. It lifted my spirit by pointing to the real reason for the season, to quote another pithy Christmas saying. Now I hope by this point you all have been touched by the Spirit and have reveled in that annual celebration in the gift of Christ's birth. But if you haven't, that's okay. I'm not here to sting you with platitudes or to try to chide you to feel something that might be far from you. But I do wish to offer you the hope of Christ in this new year. You see, I believe that when we become so wrapped up in our own issues and problems, as real as they may be, it is the Holy Spirit which is there for comfort. The challenge, of course, is reaching past where we are in our daily life to where we want to be in Christ. I think the messages in that t-shirt are the beacon to the way across the gulf from where we are to where God truly wants us to be. Conversely, if we are comfortable in where we are now at this moment in our relationship with God, the message on the t-shirt is also a challenge to get across the gulf to where Christ calls us to be as disciples. For only in serving the kingdom and participating in Christ's work are we free of our own traps and stumbling blocks. Now I have to be honest, folks. I have been, and I will be in the future, challenged by this call. It doesn't get me jumping out of bed every morning like I wish it would. Many days are hard, and some are easier than others. But every day, the only hope for the day lies in the call to join Christ in his task to make the world the way it should be, to resist the weight of the world as it is, and to put our faith in the promise of the kingdom of God. And the key challenge is twofold. It's first to model this kingdom when we gather together as an ecclesia, a solemn assembly, a body of Christ. This gathering with the Word and the great thanksgiving of communion in Christ's death and resurrection, it feeds us and sustains us week to week. There were times in my life that I could not or did not want to get out of bed. But coming to the church was all that got me through. The second key is to then turn the focus outward to the sick and dying world that needs the hope of the Spirit and the new and true life in Christ. Our readings for today give us some more light on both of these keys. A daily meditation text by Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger from before he was elevated as Pope Benedict XVI, entitled Co-Workers of the Truth, Meditations for Every Day of the Year, offers this on our epistle from Galatians today. He writes, quote, "To usher in the new year, the church places before us a text from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. She offers this word as a word of encouragement to help us enter with confidence into a future whose ways we cannot know. The following passage, too, is intended as a guide for what lies ahead. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then also an heir. In these words, we find revealed the ultimate substance of our future. As heirs of God, we'll be masters of the universe. Greater than this can hardly be predicted of us. Yet it is difficult for us to make our own the hope that impregnates this text. We lack the simplicity that would enable us simply to stammer, Abba. In fact, there is in us a resistance to saying Father that springs from our longing to come of age. The Father no longer seems to us, as it did to St. Paul, the guarantor of our freedom, but rather the opposite. What we want is a partner. Father is too suggestive of authority. We are like the younger son who claims his inheritance and no longer wants a father, but only a future that he creates for himself. How well this single brief text, the New Year's gift that the church bestows on us, reveals the whole struggle of being a Christian today. It runs counter to much that we take for granted. It calls for conversion. And yet, if we have the courage to reflect on it, it is perhaps not really so hard to understand. In the last analysis, one who must create himself cannot fail to discover his helplessness. He has no choice but to become a robot in an overwhelming universe and in a society that mercilessly thwarts all his plans. But one who can say Father to the Lord of the universe has a firm foundation for his confidence. The future belongs to him. Why should it not be possible for us to experience, even in our own day, the infectious power of this confidence? I think the title of this, Co-Workers of the Truth, point to my message of how to live as heirs to Christ's kingdom. It is as apostolos, which is the Greek word for followers, in the way of Christ. We work together with Christ to remake the world as God wishes it to be. As did Mary when she treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart, when the shepherds came and told them what the angels had proclaimed to them in the fields while keeping watch on their flocks by night. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. So I ask you to take this day to ponder on that in your heart and truly reflect on the gift you are given, and then take that gift and put it to work in the ways proclaimed on the t-shirt. Make the kingdom of God real in your actions and attitudes to the world around you. If you are challenged one day, rise up more determined the next. If you lack hope, reach out to your neighbor here in this solemn assembly. Do not be afraid to claim your struggle and ask for their help in prayers of intercession. Renew yourselves in the new year And just keep coming to our little bit of the kingdom every week. And we will work together to share it with the world by feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, welcoming immigrants, forgiving others, embracing outsiders, sharing with those in need, advocating for the marginalized, confronting those abusing power, and valuing others' religions. Amen.